Hello, everybody. My name is Scott.
And my name is Daniel.
And we're doing a podcast here, and we hope y'all gonna listen.
We're doing a podcast. Is that what this can and this string is for?
That's it.
Oh.
And you put it, well, all you have to do is make a recordation of it, and that's all we're going to do.
It feels like you're sliding into Song of the South there. Anyway, hi, Scott. How are you?
Zippity dude. Yeah, sometimes my accents do slide into one another. There are certain ones that are difficult to keep apart. French and German.
The word of the day is careen.
Careen.
Accents careen into each other.
Oft times. You know, Daniel, I will first tell you how I'm doing.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask you how you're doing.
I
as
was
opposed
so
to
so
Adam
excited.
Burns.
Yes, who doesn't sweet, care about
we,
that?
We did a marvelous, marvelous podcast, the three of us, that is available on Level 13, Level 13, Level 13.
That is correct.
And it was a fun time had by all.
It was a Christmas show. You, Adam Burns, and myself performed a dramatic reading of A Christmas Carol.
But what was interesting is we did it backwards.
We did.
Yeah, so it started with Scrooge really happy and ended up with him pissed off at his
It also ended up with Tiny Tim, being fully functioning and then later ended up being a cripple.
Yes, and it was a fun direction to take it.
It was, but you could only listen to that show if you're a level 13 member.
That's true. How on earth, Daniel, does one become a member of Level 13, Level 13, Level 13?
You just send us an email. Just drop us an email and say, hey, I want to join your club, and we will get you hooked up with the Discord server. And if it's absolutely free, it's just for fans of the show, which is a little behind-the-scenes place where we post our pre-shows and our post-shows, and so you get extra content every week.
It's where the cool kids hang out, Daniel.
It is.
Isn't it? Isn't it funny how much more energy we have when we're doing the show than when we're in the pre-show talking?
Well, but the only people that know that are level 13. Yeah, the people that listen to
level 13. Level 13. Level 13.
Exactly.
So I am doing well, Daniel. We're still in midst of our vacation.
Yes,
Drew and myself. So
when is your end of your vacation?
The end of the vacation is the Tuesday after. Actually, it's going to continue on a couple more weeks. It's we got some time. I know
that
that's
the lunar
official
schedule. It's the first full moon after the first Tuesday,
which is
and
the orange beaver moon. What we're going to do is we carry on Christmas. We're still doing Christmas because it's still official. The 12 days of Christmas end on, I believe, January 6th.
Oh.
That's when the wise men arrived and did all that stuff that they did with
what
giving.
Do you get 12 drummers drumming on the 12th?
Yeah, you do. Right now, last night was 4 calling birds.
4 falling birds, 3
French hens,
dudes,
2 turtle doves, and a lesbian who's bleeding on my foot.
And a glowy hole in the fence.
Lady, when you touch me down there, flanavin. So I'm doing well. Yes. Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel Brewer.
Yes, Scott.
How you could slip my last name. It's not a secret.
I always felt weird about it.
Me.
Yeah, I didn't. But if I can say your last name, which is Bullock, then you know that all three hosts' last name starts with B.
Wow,
that's right. And in fact, both you and Adam are BU.
That's right. But I get to be first, which is very rare. It was always wonderful that I was in alphabetical in school and all of that shit. Mm-hmm. I was in alphabetical. I was a B, which was really cool.
Yes.
But I was also the very, very end of the Bs. So had to go through all of the A's and most of the Bs. Right.
Except for that third grade year when Greg Byzantine was there. And you were like, God. Yes.
Yes. His empire was incredible. but I would pose this to you, my dear friend.
Yes.
How are you?
I am doing wonderfully.
Really?
I am doing
that's
wonderful.
A change.
It has been a bit cold here in Florida. We had a cold snap come through on Christmas.
Well, it was 60?
No,
65.
Our high on Christmas Day was 58.
Wow.
And
you almost had a white Christmas.
Yeah. And in towns a few, I don't know, a few miles is not right. 10 or 20, like mile, towns that are like 50 miles north of us.
Yes.
Dropped into the 20s overnight. We did. We stayed
in Florida.
We stayed in the 30s overnight.
Well, we have also been blessed with some chilly, wonderful chilly weather, especially chilly nights, which we love because we get to do our fire in the fireplace.
Now, I saw a commercial today.
Yeah, did we cover how you're doing?
Yeah, I said I'm doing wonderfully.
Good. You saw a commercial today.
Saw a commercial today, espousing the danger of fireplaces and how they will just spontaneously burst into flames lest you unless you buy this special creosote log. That
do you mean espousing?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did I say?
You know, you said espousing, but I love you, okay. And I would never correct you.
No, I would expect nothing less.
Never, ever, ever.
But
put you up
it
to
made me
ridicule.
Frightened for all of you who use fireplaces because it sounds very dangerous.
Well, you know, and this is not a joke, that Rachel Ray's palatial mountain estate burnt up to a crisp.
I did not know this.
For that reason.
Oh.
That her what happens is the crap builds up inside your chimney.
Yes.
Not pronounced chimney. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why so many. Do you see, this is my grumpy old son of a bitch coming out, and people can say whatever they want, but people say chimney. And I think to myself, there's no E in chimney. It's chimney.
Oh, I
two
believe.
Syllables.
I believe.
Chimney.
What in Arthur Christmas, he calls it a chimley.
No, it's that one of the sweetest movies ever.
I went to
love that movie.
The little kitties and come down to chimney.
Mm-hmm. So creosote, indeed, from fires in the fireplace builds up inside your chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And then that actually catches fire, and that's when you're in trouble. When your chimney is not just venting heat and smoke, but it's actually burning.
Oh.
And it can ignite the rest of your friggin' house. Oh. We, Drew and myself, my
yes.
husband Drew O'Brien, who is an author, by the way, you can find three of his books on Amazon.com. We have The Sin of Mother Mary by Drew O'Brien. We have Father Who Art by Drew O'Brien. We have Crossroads by Drew O'Brien, available on Amazon.com. Anyway, Drew and I have our chimneys reamed on a semi-regular basis to clean out the creosote. So we have like Dick Van Dyke comes. I just said like, forgive me. Dick Van Dyke comes over with his little sweepy thing and dances on our roof and cleans our chimney.
With the world's greatest British accent.
Oh, it was the best.
And cleans your roof. Cleans your chimney.
Cleans our chimneys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad that you have taken this into account. See, we don't think about such things here.
Because you don't have chimneys.
So we don't have chimneys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We also, growing up, if we would run out of antifreeze, like if there was a hole in the radiator or whatever, we'd just refill it with water.
Well, that makes sense.
Because it would never freeze, so it's never going to freeze and then expand and then break our pipes kind of a thing. Anyway, Scott, none of this is...
None of it matters,
none
really?
None of this matters.
None of it's relevant?
None of this is relevant. I'm looking here at the Trello board.
Trello, 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 Trello.
Are you familiar with Jonathan Capehart?
Who?
Jonathan Capehart.
No, I am not familiar with the name.
Okay, Jonathan Capehart is a journalist for the Washington Post.
Well, that explains it. I'm relatively illiterate.
He also is the newest Sunday morning show on MSNBC called Sunday Mornings with Jonathan Capehart. He's also an out and proud gay man, a gay black man.
A homosexual?
Yes. Anyway, he has taken some amount of heat because he interviewed Dionne Warwick and asked her about the vaccine, about the COVID vaccine. And
oh, yes.
Would she be taking it? And Dionne Warwick said she's adopting a wait and see attitude about the vaccine.
Yes.
Which, of course, led many people to start calling Dionne Warwick an anti-vaxxer, blah, 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 which is not what she said. She didn't say she wouldn't take it. She just said that she was waiting and seeing. And you have to understand.
She's also 112 years old.
She's
for
80.
Christ's sake.
But yes, that's close. But the The main reason is, and the reason that she gave in the interview, is that she has done work with AIDS foundations since the 1980s, and she has seen how long it's taken some of these medicines to get to market and to get approved, and she just feels that she would like there to be some other people to go first because she believes that they kind of rushed approval of this drug, which is a perfectly reasonable position to have.
It certainly does not make her an anti-vaxxer.
No, it doesn't. But that when I was reading that article today, I was like, you know, I don't think I've ever asked you. Like, if you had the choice to get a vaccine tomorrow, like in Florida, you would, because our governor has said that everyone 65 and older can sign up for it, sign up to get the vaccine.
I have to wait till May.
You could lie. Or maybe they do it like Disney. Like Disney, if you order a drink at Disney and they look at your ID.
Yes.
As long as your birth year is the same year, they will allow you to drink. So I could drink at Disney when I was 20, as long as I was there before March, you know, because my birthday's in March. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Little fun fact.
What astrological sign does that make you?
That makes me a poofta, I think. Is that a sign?
Poofta, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like
it's the phase sign of the zodiac.
Yeah, that sounds like me. Anyway, my question to you, Scott.
Yes, Daniel.
Have you been investigating where you're going to get your vaccine? Are you excited about getting the vaccine, or is this just I'm a recluse and I don't care, I don't need it anyway?
It is really interesting that you are bringing this up because my husband, Drew O'Brien, the author, who three books available on, we're talking about this just before our recording today. I call it this morning, you call it this afternoon.
Yes.
But it's because we live in different time zones.
Yes, we live in different places.
You're 3 hours ahead of me.
I am.
And I'm miles and miles ahead of you.
It's dark out here.
Ooh. And you can see the sun glaring on my face.
I can.
That's coming from the window, the beautiful window that overlooks our Col du Sac, which was my stripper name in the late 70s. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Col du Sac. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The pharmacy at our grocery store is advertising that very soon the COVID vaccine will be available for free of charge for people.
Now, when I was out there, that was Vons. Is it still Vons?
It was Vons when you were here. Vons sold out and became Bristol Farms, which is an uppity, snooty $25 for a tomato bullshit store. So we changed over to Pavilions, which is just it's another name for Vons. They're basically the same company. And so Pavilions is where they're offering this. And also because I am an active member of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes.
I have access to all of the facilities for the motion picture home and the motion picture medical facilities. So we can also go a few miles away and get it there. But as I told Drew this morning, I told you we were talking about it this morning.
Yes.
And I mean it. Mm-hmm. I am, once again, not a joke, but I'm sure it could be made, a lot of funny could be made out of it. I am terrified, neurotically so, not normal terror, terrified of doctors, medical facilities, anything like that.
Yes.
I am really neurotic about it. It isn't a normal fear. It's an abnormal neuroses. So if I have a choice to go to the produce section and get my shot or go to a medical facility and get my shot, I'm going to go to the produce section because I will feel, and I don't go to doctors. So this shot thing is very nerve wracking. And to the point of Dion, I have thought that myself. I would much prefer someone else take the hit and, you know, develop six more fingers on their penis than have it happen to me by getting the shot. Although six fingers on your penis wouldn't be that bad, depending on how they're moving. Yeah.
I think the main concern, there's certainly no indication that the vaccine is dangerous. I think the the main concern is, will it still be, is the correct word, efficacious? Like,
that's the correct word.
9 months from now.
Yes.
Because all of the studies, by their very nature, have not progressed past 3 months. So we know that 3 months in, these people still have antibodies that took the vaccine. But we don't know, we can't say whether they're going to need to get this shot yearly or whether they're going to, this one shot will last them for 10 years. Whatever. We don't know that because we don't have those long studies.
Correct mundo, mon frere.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, have been hitting every doctor relative of mine that I know saying, I know there's not a list, but I'd really like to be on the list.
So you're ready to get it today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If I could go to my CVS here today or to my sister-in-law or brother-in-law's office and get it today, if I could go somewhere today, even if I had to drive to go and do it, yes, I would absolutely get the vaccine today.
So you are secure in its safety.
Yes.
What gives you that feeling of security that it's absolutely safe?
Probably just my background, just my upbringing. I came up in a family of drug pushers, so if they say it's safe, then I believe them.
You know, they have been mistaken in the past.
Not recently in the past, but yeah, they have. My dad used to have a saying about medicine. He's like, it's the one profession that by its nature cannot be exact, yet everyone wants it to be exact.
And undeniably so. I was going through a terrible physical thing that they couldn't, this is many years ago, could not figure out what the fuck was going on, didn't have an answer, it went away. I said, what was it? They said, I don't know, and their excuse was, medicine is an art, it is not a science. And I thought to myself, fuck you, you're shoving things up my penis hole and telling me that it's an art, not a science. That kind of art I don't want to know from, thank you very much. How many times is your coworker still listening? Fuck, shit, puss, cunt, penis hole, shit, fuck.
I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway, so to answer your question briefly, as opposed to long-winded.
Yeah, well, we don't want to do that. Yeah.
God forbid. I will take it, but I'm not gonna be first in line. Let me put it that way.
Allow me to be first in line. I'll be happy.
If you don't grow 6 new fingers on your private parts, then I'll go and get mine.
Okay, great. That's all I wanted to know. The next thing,
Do you know the way to San Jose?
I've been to San Jose.
Because Dionne Warwick does. Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long, I may go wrong and lose my way.
I don't remember the year. I don't remember the year, but it was 1 year that Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone and myself were visiting California.
Yes.
And I don't remember if this was the year that we dropped by your place or not, but we drove through San Jose and we made many jokes about that song. So that was all. That was it. I had no other.
Have you been to California with Wesley with more than once?
Well, he lives in California, so I have. Yes, I have. I have been. I have visited Wes in California more than once. Yes, I have pictures from. I have pictures
you,
of him and Donna Sugars.
Here? I don't think you only traveled here once.
Right. And yeah, when I traveled there, that was, I want to say, no. I've only been to your house with Wes once. I've been to your house thrice.
Yes.
But I've only been there with Wes once, yes. And that was the first time. That was my first visit to your house, was with Wes. And I think that was the year that Wes and Donna Sugars and myself and Steven went to Disneyland. And we were allowed in for free because Donna's father worked at Disneyland. And he ushered us in that day. But I have pictures from that. And I think that was the same trip. I don't know. Sadly, Dr. Wesley Pythagoras. He died. He died years ago, and no one's ever heard from him since. So we'll never know. We'll never know the answer to that question.
I think you're going to be on the shit list.
I see what you did there. That's very funny. Anyway, so yes. Let's talk about Christmas.
Jingle bells, fuck me up the butt. You know.
Yes.
Let's talk about Christmas.
Mm-hmm. What did you get?
Drew and I do not exchange gifts. My husband, Drew O'Brien, is an author. Did
yes,
I
I understand that, but I'm sure he gave you something.
No.
No, no stocking stuffers, no...
No, a kiss and love, because we love each other very much. We did get gifts from my precious Carol from Down Under, Carol Trendle, who's a member of Level 13.
What did Carol send you?
A beautiful gift basket with wines and cheeses and incredible stuff in it.
Oh, I'm sure mine was just lost in the mail. I'm sure.
You were going to send me a like bell. And I keep waiting. It's not in the mail. Never there. Moose P always sends something. Precious Moose P sent. Oh my God! I'm telling you something. Oh, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
He sent this gift basket of stuff from the Carolinas, and there is. Oh my God! I'm telling you something. It and Drew feels the same way, which is unusual because Drew is a less of a spicy lover.
You're talking
than
about
I am.
Author Drew O'Brien? That's
Did
books
you
are
know?
Available on
Three
Amazon?
Books. Yeah. Yes, on Amazon.com. But in that gift basket were ranch sriracha peanuts that I swear to Christ I would kill my mother for, but that's not a stretch.
Right.
They are ranch dressing flavored and sriracha flavored peanuts. I'm telling you something. We have, I think there's I think there are probably three little peanuts left at the bottom of this big container that we've been shoving in our face.
Wow.
So, you know, and we're getting gifts from Drew. He's an author.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Made cookies and candies for the neighbors.
Aww.
and delivered them. And so the neighbors, of course, went, oh, fuck. And then, so we've been getting candy from the neighbors and candy from his, Drew's sister for his birthday. Because Drew's birthday he's an author.
Yeah.
Drew's
that,
birthday
yes.
is the 16th of December. And so a mm-hmm. lot of crossover happens.
Right. A lot of crossover.
So we get Christmas. Because Moose also, Precious Moose P
the
also
The latest
sends
book
him-
from Drew O'Brien, Crossover.
Crossover. Well, Crossroads is one of his books. Crossroads. It is Crossroads, right? I'm old. I'm not drinking presently, but I will be later. And yeah, so good. And if I forgot anybody, but nobody's listening to this thing, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Okay,
except
great.
Your coworker. Fuck, shit, cunt, right. Piss.
I got a vacuum and some new
pots.
That
sucks.
A vacuum and some new pots. So I'm not sure what I was being steered towards, like, clean the damn house and cook better food, maybe? I don't know.
There might be a little bit of subtlety in Zachary's gifting.
I bought myself, though.
Yes.
A standing desk, so.
Oh, you got from IKEA?
Yes, I didn't, so I didn't order
it. You need to do a video of you putting it together.
I know, yeah. I should.
Putting it together piece by piece.
I didn't buy it online because IKEA doesn't have free shipping. And it was also going to take a long time. And it turns out that my nephew was looking at the same desk. And I had expressed to him at some point.
The exact same desk?
Well, I mean the same model.
Oh, okay.
And I had expressed to him, I was like, well, I don't have a truck. So I'd have to borrow somebody's truck to go and pick it up. And anyway, I got a call from him the 2 days after Christmas, whatever, and he said, hey, I'm on my way to IKEA to buy my standing desk. Do you want me to pick one up for you?
Isn't that thoughtful?
And I'll drop it off.
Oh, my God, free delivery.
I know. So it showed up. He went, and I you know, we settled up. I went for, it was a $600 desk, so I'm going to pay him $6 for the next 100 months, like $6 a month for the next 100 months to pay it off. And yeah, it's a little installment plan.
Okay. Do you know that my husband, Drew O'Brien, who happens to be an author,
yeah.
Yes, works at a standing desk?
I think you had mentioned that.
And prior to that, when he would work at the seated, as we do, he was having horrible lower back pains and issues. And since his standing desk. The lower back pain is almost completely and totally gone.
Well, there you go.
For him. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting. I spend a lot of time in this office, sitting in this chair at this desk. So yes, I'm looking forward to having the option to stand if I want. Because the IKEA desk is motorized, so I can move it up and down.
Well, no wonder it costs $600.
So I can move it up and down. So I don't have to stand at it. But I can't.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. I haven't put it together yet. It's downstairs.
Putting it together, piece by piece.
Next to my couch. Well, there you go. That was my, you got some gifts. I got some gifts. You know what I did get? I got a lovely Hickory Farms gift box.
Love those.
From Adam Burns.
Oh, that's very sweet. Because you expressed your childhood love of Hickory Farms. We, Drew, my husband.
Yes.
He's a writer.
Yes.
We got from.
If I weren't so lazy, I would edit all of those out. But you know, I'm lazy.
Why would you do that? Why would you edit it out? Because that's what's funny. It's a running gag. Do you know what running gags are?
Well, I don't like running, so I don't.
You have no concept.
I don't.
Of running gags.
No concept whatsoever.
Okay. We ordered from Italian. Oh, God. From Swiss Colony. Not Italian Swiss Colony, but from Swiss Colony.
Hey, that's a spicy meatball.
Hey, that's a spicy summer sausage, which is very similar to Hickory Farms.
Yes.
And we got, although the Swiss Colony logs are this big, and I'm holding up maybe 3 inches. Mm-hmm. Is that a gay 3 inches, or is that really three
inches? That's about 3 inches, yes.
Okay. And as opposed to the foot-long Hickory Farms. Yes. But we got two packages of the varietal summer sausages and cheeses. And they are incredibly delicious. We also ordered the fruitcake sampler because, believe it or not, when fruitcake is made correctly, and I think our dear, I don't know if Melanie listens.
No, but Tim in Alaska does. And Tim in Alaska made...
The Donna Reed of Alaska. Yes.
He made a fruitcake that has been wrapped in cheesecloth and soaked in bourbon since March. So,
wow. Know. Anyway, and Melanie makes a hell of a cheesecake.
Fruit
Jesus
cake.
Christ, fruitcake, fruit cake. For fuck's sake.
What'd you call me?
For fuck's sake.
Oh, okay, good.
Now... When it's done correctly, it's delicious. It isn't. Fruitcake became a joke, and I guess the mass-produced fruitcake is horrible. Anyway, we ordered a fruitcake sampler from Swiss Colony.
Oh.
They mistakenly sent us two whole regular fruitcakes. Drew.
What were their names?
Elizabeth and Franklin.
Oh, okay, great.
Elizabeth was formerly Ted. But what Drew did is contact via email, because he's an excellent writer. Mm-hmm. He contacted via email Swiss Colony and told them, you ruined our Christmas Eve. We were so excited.
It was a dark and stormy night when the postal package arrived at our door.
Would have worked so nice if you hadn't stumbled.
Shut up.
Okay. And so they said, you know what? We are not only refunding your order, we are sending you a free gift that will be in the mail.
Well, look at that.
And you can destroy those fruitcakes or eat them, whatever. We don't need them back. That's how accommodating Swiss Colony was to us for over the Christmas, which isn't over for us. I think I told you in the pre-show, or I may have told you earlier in this show, that we take the celebration all the way through the 12 days of Christmas.
Yes.
Which end, I think, January 6th. I'm not sure.
Yes, you said that on this very show. No, more than 20 minutes ago.
Now I am repeating myself.
You are.
Within
Welcome
20 minutes.
Welcome to the Adam Burns Show, where we just repeat ourselves endlessly. So here's my last question for you today, Scott.
Oh, there's the last question.
The last question. That would have made that question the penultimate question.
That's true.
That's right. The last question I have for you here is, this is 2020.
It is.
Fuck you, 2020.
In so many ways.
And we can't do the same kind of things that we have done in years past. So my question to you is, what is your normal New Year's routine, New Year's Eve routine? How do you normally celebrate it? And are you modifying that at all since this is 2020?
Drew, my husband.
The author?
Who, yes.
Yeah, okay.
He's a writer, mm-hmm. Yes. And I have been relatively reclusive prior to the pandemic. We were speaking literally this morning because my husband, I'm not going to say it, my husband called a friend who lives in New York, and she was talking about the radical differences that people fled from New York. And
yes.
It's amazing what she was talking about, the differences, and how it has upset her life and upset so much. And what Drew and I were saying this morning while we were brushing our teeth is that we really only went out a couple of times a week. We would go every week. We'd go see my mother, visit my mother. And then occasionally we would go, I love Dollar Tree. So we'd go to Dollar Tree, it was rare. Truly rarely would we go out. Truly rarely would we see people. So the change, the pandemic change, wasn't as radical for us. Our New Year's Eve celebrations, you notice how I got back to the original question,
my darling?
Yes, is that
good?
Nice.
That was very nice, yes.
Our New Year's Eve celebration for the past several years has been the same, and that is that we join via some kind of communication device. It was Google Hangout. It will probably be Zoom now, mm-hmm. with our dear, dear friends, Tom and Terry, Digger and T. Wiggles, mm-hmm. who live either in Chicago or San Francisco, one of their manses in either one of the places.
Yes.
And we hang out with them or Zoom with them and simultaneously watch. They watch on their TV and we watch on our TV and we sync it up so it's going at the same time. The Poseidon Adventure.
Jesus. Wait, what now, service is the Poseidon Adventure streaming on?
Oh, we do it. We do it. We both have DVDs. I'm sorry. It's ancient technology.
Oh, okay.
We sync them up on our DVD players. And the reason it's the Poseidon Adventure, because we have movies for almost every holiday, and there's a reason. Because the capsizing of the Poseidon happens on New Year's Eve at the stroke of midnight.
So
it has become our New Year's Eve movie that we watch with Tom and Terry. And we toast. They're 2 hours ahead of us, mm-hmm. if they're in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we'll toast their New Year in, and then they hang around, those precious guys. They hang around for 2 more hours and toast our New Year in, and we talk a little, and then we go to bed and forget about it. That's it. So it's going to be the same. It isn't going to change.
You're going to be spending your New Year's with Gene Hackman.
Yes.
Shelley Winters.
Yes. Stella Stevens.
Don't recognize any of the other faces.
Jack Albertson.
Don't recognize any of these faces.
Pamela, what's her name? It's not Pamela Franklin. Pamela somebody. Eric Shea.
Oh, well, here's the cast down here. Yes. Let's see. Stella Stevens, Roddy McDowell, Carol Lindley, Red Buttons.
Yes. Ernest, you never got a dinner.
Ernest Borgnine. And Gene Hackman. Was there a follow-up to that?
There were 2 follow-up movies and a remake and another thing, and all of them were horrific.
Okay.
They're just ridiculous. Because it was a huge success, I believe, could be wrong, you could be smelling methane, but I'm saying I believe, I'm not stating it as fact, that the Poseidon Adventure was the first disaster movie that started the disaster movie trend. I believe it to be true.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, you had Earthquake and Towering Inferno and all of the airport movies.
Oh,
and
God. I think I watched, I tried to watch Airport 75.
Yes. Don't you get a chuckle?
It was so horrible.
Yes, they're pure camp. The first one,
it's like the window blew out of the cockpit and the woman's just standing there talking on the radio while she's flying 700 miles an hour and her hair is barely blowing. Yeah,
Karen Black said, I don't want my hair flying around. So can we do less of the... Yeah, you have a hole and you're going 300 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry. But you watch those with your tongue, if you're lucky, firmly implanted in a cheek of some kind.
Oh, I see.
Normally you,
see what you did
stop
there.
It.
I see what you did there.
Just
so,
stop it.
Not that you asked, but I'll go ahead and tell you. We normally...
I didn't even get around to the possibility of asking. Daniel, what do you do and are you changing it?
Oh, what? That's a very good question, Scott. You put
okay,
a lot of thought into
thought
that.
Of it.
Yeah.
I did.
We normally, we like to call New Year's Eve amateur night.
Amateur night. And why is that?
Because people who don't normally drink go out and drink on that night.
Oh.
And so I have kind of always viewed New Year's Eve as a place that I don't go out, right? It's like I don't go out that night because there's a bunch of amateurs on the road.
Yes,
right? It's like I would rather
there.
Stay in and take my chances with the professional drunks on the rest of the nights.
Yes.
And it's funny because I actually came to this realization when I was at Yale.
Yes, you were at Yale?
Yes. I don't know if you knew this or not, but I had gotten a scholarship to Princeton, and I turned it down so that I could go to Yale.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So they really wanted you?
Yeah, they did. And so I went, I realized this at Yale, that
yes.
It's amateur night. But of course, then when I was in Yale, it was very easy to just take the subway, I mean, not the subway, the MTA, the
yes.
train. Into New York. So I would go into New York and watch the ball drop. I didn't stand there all day long because those people are, once you, they put you in these little cages. Have you seen it on the TV?
Yes.
In Times Square. They have little makeshift boxes. They use those temporary fences.
No.
You know, those temporary fence things, like, what do they call
those
things?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Stanchions. So they use those stanchions to make little boxes. And as you come into Times Square, they block off all the entrances except one. So they funnel you one way and then you stand in whatever boxed off area that they allow you to. And it all depends on what time you get there as to where you stand. But the rules are is you can stand there all the way till midnight. But if you leave that stanchioned area, you cannot come back.
Sad.
Which means that those people that get there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon
are frozen solid by
and
the
haven't
time that
peed. They
oh
haven't peed for 9 or 10 hours. Some of them wear diapers. Some of them do very clandestine things with 2-liter bottles. But yeah,
how lovely.
You can't. It's not a great smell. But we don't do that. What we learned when we went here's
dropping
a pro
balls.
Tip. Pro tip,
yes.
Anyone that's going to New York, not this year, but anyone that's going to New York in the future, there is a lovely little park right next to the library.
Yes.
And from that park, I wish I could remember what the name of that park was. Someone is screaming
Central?
Out right now. No, it's not Central Park. Someone is screaming out the name of that park right now. But
okay.
Washington Park? Washington Square Park is over near Stonewall. This is another park. Anyway, the point is that near the public library, near Grand Central, there's the public library, and then a little bit past that is this park. If you stand in that park, and there's a nice little tables and chairs. If you sit there, you actually have a perfect view of the ball from the side.
Wow.
And there's nobody there. So you could just
You
can sit there and watch the ball drop with
you can
with,
pee.
Yeah, you can pee all you want. There's a restroom right there.
Well, that's a good tip, Daniel.
All right. So all of this is to say is that neither of us are changing our New Year's. We're staying in. Yeah, we're staying in for New Year's, which is normally what we do because we no longer live. Well, I no longer live near New York. And yeah, we don't.
It's amateur.
Long ago, I used to go to Disney on New Year's because all of the parks stay open until midnight and they all kind of do a firework thing. And,
oh, that's different.
And it's a day that we're blacked out on our pass, so you have to pay for admission on that day. But they give you like a little noisemaker and a hat with a year on it, and you can stay there, you know, all night. So I used to do that when I was younger, but you know, since I've been at Yale, since I realized that it was amateur night.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was fun. All right, so I got nothing.
This is our last podcast
of the year. This is our very last podcast of the year.
So we can officially say bye to 2020.
We can.
There are a couple of nice things that happened in 2020.
What?
A couple
like what?
Of nice things. Biden is one.
Yes.
My husband got his eyes fixed, so he has wonderful vision now. He has 20 vision. Did I mention that he was an author?
You didn't.
Are we? Yes.
Go ahead.
Are we done?
Well, almost. We have an email.
Well, by all means, we shouldn't shun the people who take the time, the kind, generous of soul people who take the time to write or call.
This is an email that comes to us from Cronehaven.
Cronehaven, you, wider than...
Yes. You may remember that Cronehaven won our contest.
She indeed won the contest.
And we've been waiting for her to communicate to us where we are supposed to send the Sculpey creations.
Yes, our Sculpey creations.
That we've both clearly made. We've already made. Oh, yeah, sure. I'm
not even a fucking chance. And not only that, but going to ship it out.
She sent us an email with her address in it, but she says, in my imagination, I have pictured Scott making a Sculpey figure. God, can't talk. I have pictured Scott making a Sculpey figure of Daniel and Daniel making a Sculpey figure of Scott. Maybe they're each wearing a Santa hat. Don't worry. Oh. I'm not expecting my imagination to reflect reality.
That's a good thing, Cronehaven, because there isn't enough Sculpey in the world for Daniel to sculpt me. It would be a very large piece. Oh, we can do our best, but I don't know that you'll necessarily still want a Santa hat on it, as the season for most people has flown the coop.
Well, that's all right. By the time we get around to making these things and sending it to him, she'll have it for next year. So
that's very true. And the pandemic will be vaccinated away, and I'll be able to go to the post office and post it.
I think that's what I'm going to make. I'm going to make a Christmas ornament out of a needle, with 2020 on it, like a little vaccination.
Look at that! Mm-hmm. Look at that!
And a Santa
man
hat.
Is. Always thinking.
And a Santa hat.
And a Santa hat.
Ah, kids, I'm needly.
Bend over and pull your pants down.
And on that note, Scott, I will talk to you next week.
Good night, Daniel.
Good night, Scott.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email us, contact@thatdarnelvis.com, or send us a voicemail by going to voicemail.thatdarnelvis.com. You can always find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. On Twitter, Scott is @AntiVera, and Daniel is @DanielBrewer.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.